This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Citing a high rate of violence against people of color, a coalition of civil rights groups this week called on the Justice Department to investigate the Kansas City Police Department. The group also pointed to what it called racist hiring practices and the department's lack of local control. The groups outlined their concerns in a 15-page letter in which they allege a consistent pattern of systemic violations that include police-involved shootings with no accountability. With us now, Gwen Grant. She's president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Kansas City. Gwen, it's always nice to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve, and good morning.
Laura McDonald also joins us. She's executive director of More Squared. Laura, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Gwen Grant.
So,
Gwen,
you're asking the Department of Justice here to investigate the Kansas City Police Department. You aren't pulling any punches. You're going straight to the top with your ask by going directly to the Attorney General of the United States. Why?
Well, because we believe we have no recourse here in Kansas City to address these problems. We started our work in the fall of 2019, the Urban League convened the Police Accountability Task Force, and we started looking at incidents of deadly and excessive force and began to see a pattern of excessive and deadly force against Black and Latinx Kansas Cityans. We also found a compelling evidence of constitutional violations, and therefore, we feel that it's necessary to ask the Department of Justice to come into Kansas City and investigate the police department. And we want them to do so pursuant to the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Acts of 1994. We want them to look at KCPD practices under the 1st, 4th, and 14th Amendments to the Constitution. We believe that there are numerous violations, and our letter pretty much goes into great detail, providing evidence of such.
Hey, have you gotten a response yet, Gwen?
No, they have acknowledged receipt of our letter. We do anticipate having some dialogue with them going forward. We are working with the National Urban League, and they are highly supportive of our action, and they are engaging in conversations with contacts inside the Department of Justice on our behalf.
Right. Laura, there's been an organized effort here, this coalition that's been pulled together called the Urban Council. Who's in it, and what is the idea behind going about it this way?
So technically, More Squared is not a member of the Urban Council. We've been participating in the board.
I think I should probably address that, Steve.
Yeah, Gwen, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, the Urban Council is comprised of five what we consider legacy civil rights organizations. The big three, the three legacy organizations: the Urban League of Greater Kansas City, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Kansas City, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Mm-hmm. And then it also includes the National Black United Front, KC, and the Urban Summit. These five organizations joined together last year to form the Urban Council so that we can bring collective force to the numerous challenges we face here to address racial equity and social justice for Black and brown people in Kansas City.
Gwen, how do we get to this point where a Department of Justice investigation is what's needed here? How did this happen?
Well, when the Board of Police Commissioners has consistently not held the police department accountable, they have pretty much turned a deaf ear to 99% of the changes and the reforms that we have requested. We don't have any control over that. They have the power to determine the policies, practices, and procedures of the department, and pretty much allow Rick Smith to operate without any oversight. We don't have local control, and that's a major problem in this city. And so when you read this letter, you'll see numerous violations. You'll see discriminatory hiring and promotion practices. You'll see there's, with this lack of accountability, that the problem just continues, goes on and on, and we need to stop it.
Well, Laura, let me bring you in here. There are a lot of things that you're calling for when it comes to what needs to be investigated. Let's talk about some of the main things that you want the Department of Justice to look into. And let's start with lack of accountability. What are you referring to there?
Well, some of the greatest things that we've been concerned about, and I want people to be clear, this is not, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 people. This is a number of organizations, Steve. It's organizations like Urban League and organizations like Moore Squared. We represent 34 congregations in Kansas City, right? Not easy to come by this decision, except that so much has happened that compelled us to reach this conclusion, right? Mm-hmm. And so some of the things that happened included a meeting that we had that Gwen Grant hosted at the Urban League, and representatives from multiple organizations addressed concerns with Kathy Dean, a member of the Board of Police Commission, and Chief Smith over a year and a half ago. And those concerns included things like, why are you putting people back to work less than 2 weeks after they've killed somebody in the line of duty? Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make sense at all. If there's some kind of even allegation or suspicion of any type of violence, even verbal, from one of my staff members, I think I would react very differently, just with the idea that they have to go back out in the community immediately. And so it was things like those, just blatant lack of concerns for the overall perception in the community that you will not even consider that your officer may have made a mistake in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. And then when you drill down and looked at those cases more carefully, and those cases are human lives that were taken in our city, when you look more carefully at them, you see some really egregious actions, like in the case of Terrence Bridges, which brought this coalition together, this police accountability board together that Gwen Grant referenced, that's been meeting since 2019. It was Terrence Bridges' case, and that he had no weapon on him, and he was actually killed without a single command, without any type of contact with the police officer. He was being followed on foot. He turned around, and the officer killed him. Hmm. No words exchanged. So it is this, and then the lack of democratic governance over KCPD. We have no course of action but as we see it, right, Steve. And we're just grateful that the administration allows for it. We couldn't have done this under the previous administration.
Hmm. You know, Gwen, you've already mentioned this concern about the lack of local control of the police department. How do those issues tie into these broader issues with the department that you're outlining here?
Well, if we had control of the police department, we would be able to exercise our power as citizens of Kansas City, because we would be able to hold those that we elect to represent us accountable for not addressing these problems. So what we have now is a board that is not accountable to any of us appointed by the governor. Basically, when you look at the policies and how they are executed, pretty much Chief Smith is allowed to operate, overrule substantiated community complaints, even when the few that do get substantiated, he has the power to overrule them. So the challenge we have here in Kansas City, we're the only large police department in the state that does not have local control, which brings about what we consider a challenge relative to equal protections under the law. That has not been addressed. We feel that we're, you know, as citizens, we have to invest and fund a department, but yet we you know, have no say, no voice in the policies and the practices and the procedures, the methods of policing, over policing in our Black community. These problems are insurmountable because we don't have the ability to impact policies. And even having the mayor serve on the Board of Police Commissioners as only one vote on behalf of Kansas Cityans is highly problematic. So this, we believe that this has gone on for far too long. And because they've been able to, you know, kill Black people pretty much with impunity, it just has created a culture that is persistent and highly deleterious to Black and brown people in Kansas City. We're subjected to racial profiling. You know, the problem is just
Gwen, could the judges,
actually,
could the Attorney General, could the Justice Department actually order Kansas City to regain local control? Could that be one possible outcome of what happens here, or does the federal government lack that ability?
No, the only pathway to local control for us, as we see it at this point, it would be by a state, a legislative change at the a change at the state level. It would require a statewide ballot initiative, which is highly costly. And we certainly, with this particular legislature in place, we don't anticipate that they will just, you know, out of the goodness of their hearts, change the law and grant us local control. What we are dealing with this legislature is what I refer to as 21st century colonialism. You have elected officials who do not reside in Kansas City, who do not, you know, who are passing legislation that impacts the quality of our lives, that governs us, power over us, that should be vested in our local government.
Right.
And it's highly surprising because It is a supermajority Republican legislature, and by their own basic philosophies, they believe in local control, state control. They believe in, you know, they don't want federal intervention, yet they intervene in Kansas City's public safety and law enforcement business by granting, passing legislation that would allow police officers to live outside of Kansas City and come into Kansas City and police us. They intervene on gun legislation that would, that makes it impossible practically for the police department to address gun control in Kansas City, where we have high rates of crime and violence. This is colonialism, and it's very harmful to public safety for us here in Kansas City.
I want to read a statement from the Kansas City Police Department. We asked for it in light of the fact we were doing this segment here this morning. The Kansas City, Missouri Police Department has participated with the DOJ via an agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI, and the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office since 2015. This agreement ensures reporting of incidents that could rise to the level of civil rights violations or excessive force. Since the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding's inception, the KCPD has voluntarily submitted case documents regarding incidents that meet those criteria to include probable cause statements when applicable. Our department investigators submit a probable cause statement in occurrences when they believe a crime has been committed. That has always been our practice. So, Laura, what is it about this department? Just earlier this month, we did a segment on this new police scorecard that came out that rated our department among the worst five in the country and the worst in the state of Missouri. You know, what makes the way we do policing here in Kansas City as bad as it is?
I would really invite your listeners to take a look at the video of the Board of Police Commissioner meeting yesterday, where June Peters Baker provided some very compelling evidence about how we are policed differently based on race in this city, that they target hotspots, and all of those hotspots are racially concentrated areas of poverty, right? That open drug purchases are made in communities that are largely Black and low income. Right. And those type of drug purchases are not made where I live off Berry Road. It just does not happen. So we are policed entirely differently based on what part of this municipality that we live in. And what that does, Steve, is it creates this cognitive dissonance for white Kansas Cityans where we don't see it happening. So what's different is we would invite the feds rather than what that police statement said. We want them to look not at one case at a time, but at patterns and practices overall. That's a very different review than what the police say they're participating in. We want them to do a deep dive into the patterns.
Gwen, just quickly, I'm running a little short of time.
Okay, but on that memorandum of understanding point, that, you know, that statement, we addressed that in the letter as well. They basically entered into that memorandum of understanding in 2015. They entered with the prosecutor's office and the FBI and the DOJ for basically the investigation and potential prosecution of civil rights violations. Basically, prosecutor Jean Peters Baker has on numerous occasions pointed out that KCPD has failed to fully execute the memorandum of understanding. And in 2019, there were three high-profile instances of KCPD using excessive force in violation of civil rights, and KCPD did not provide the probable cause statements. KCPD Right. did not advance any of this information to the prosecutor. In the case of Officer DeBalconer, who has been charged with the in the murder of Cameron Lamb, they refused to bring forward a probable cause statement. And with the two officers who slammed Breonna Hill's head to the ground,
Gwen, I'm going to have to wrap you.
That information was okay, but they didn't advance the information. They have not lived up to the memorandum.
There's been numerous stories and coverage of just what Gwen's talking about on KCUR's website and the Kansas City Star. That was the voice of Gwen Grant, president and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Kansas City. Laura McDonald also joined us, executive director of More Squared. Thank you both for a good conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.